Amen. Luke chapter 5. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You know, in this very same Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and in verse 10, our Lord made that great and glorious declaration that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek, I mean something was lost, and to save that which was lost. And this simple yet very profound statement not only reveals the infinite mercy and grace of God who sent His only begotten Son to seek and to save sinners. That's God's mercy, that God would send His Son to seek sinners. Now, we have to understand that. It's saying God sent His Son, His sinless, perfect Son, to seek and to save sinners by His death. He sent Him to save sinners. Not righteous people, not good people. He sent His Son to save sinners. People that are in enmity with God. Those who in their hearts hate God. Those who don't even desire God. God said, I'm sending my Son to seek those kind of people. So it shows us the infinite mercy and grace of God. But it also reveals the terrible and devastating condition which sin has wrought upon every man, woman, and child born of this woman. Because He says, to seek that which was lost. Beloved, when we say lost, we're not speaking about the fact that God had lost sight of man or is ignorant of man's condition. Is speaking about the condition of man in regards to God. He's lost. And this is the horrific condition of all mankind. Everyone born in this world is born lost and dead in sin, at enmity with God, a God-hater. No one is born righteous in this world. You didn't wake up and I didn't wake up one day in life and say, well, I'm going to go out and find God and get saved. We had no longing for God. We were born with an enmity against God. We were born sinners. We were born lost. Since the entrance of sin into the world by that one man, Adam, all mankind is lost in regards to his relationship with God. He's lost in regards to true happiness and enduring peace of heart and mind. He knows nothing of that. He's lost as a rebellious wanderer who has lost his way and cannot find his way back, does not wish to find his way back. Lost not only because sin has wrought enmity between him and God, but has made his condition so terrible and hopeless. That's what lost means. That it is God Himself who must, according to Scripture, seek him. Man is so lost if God doesn't seek him, he'll be lost forever and perish in his sins. The Son of Man has come to seek. Who has to do the seeking? It's God. Who has to do the finding? It's God. Who has to do the saving? It's God. If God doesn't do that, man will perish in his sins forever. Man is not good enough to save himself. Man has no good in himself. It's called biblically, doctrinally defined, total depravity. Everything about man is corrupt and wicked and defiled. He may be able to make moral decisions that are good. I'm not saying man isn't able to make a moral decision which is good. He may decide not to kill somebody or rob or lie or cheat. But in regards to God, who is holy and just and righteous, there's nothing good about him. He's totally depraved. And if God doesn't seek him, he'll remain lost forever. Yet man continues to foolishly believe that his condition before God is not so devastating and terrible, and that he's able to help himself. We see that everywhere we go today, especially in this generation in which we live. So many people think God owes them something, and that God is so good it doesn't matter if I believe in God, it doesn't matter if I pray, it doesn't matter if I go to church. God is just a good God, and God will help me, and I can help myself. Man is not able to help himself. But he thinks he is. But in the end, he will sadly realize just how deplorable and helpless he is, yet it'll be too late. He thinks when he stands before God, everything will be fine. Why do you think they try to take funeral services and they try to find the best thing to say about somebody who's passing away? This is one thing that our dear sister, I still remember, I forgot whose funeral we were at the time, but she sat next to me, and afterwards, I know who it was, but since you know them, I won't say anything. Afterwards, I mean, the guy just told a whole 45 minutes something good about her. Now, I believe the woman was a Christian, but the guy just, he just centered everything around her. And afterwards, I remember Sister Vivian telling me clearly outside, when you do my funeral, she said, I don't want you to say anything good about me, but I want you to say everything good about Christ. But that's why in funerals they try to make people look good. Give people the impression that it doesn't matter what you believe or how you live, God in the end will save you because you're good enough to be saved. You're not good enough to be saved. You will never be good enough to be saved. I will never be good enough to be saved if Christ doesn't intervene and cleanse me from my sins. If He doesn't seek and find me and save me, I will never be good enough for God. I might be good enough for man, and I may please man, but I'm never going to be able to please God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. You say, preacher, how good do I have to be to enter into heaven? You have to be just as righteous and just as holy as God. And immediately everybody will actually say, well, nobody can be that righteous. Nobody can be that holy, and you're right, nobody can. That's why He is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. If I do not possess the righteousness of Christ when I die, I will pay for my sins, and the wages of those sins are eternal death, and nothing good have I to pay that wage. That's why the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, because sinful man is utterly incapable and unable to save himself. And our text reveals this truth in this leper which Christ heals. But in order for us to clearly understand this, and like I said when I prayed, Christians have asked me over the years, how can I learn to be a witness to others about Christ? How can I spread the gospel? Well, the best way we can be taught how to spread the gospel is to sit under the preaching of the gospel. That's why it's important the church always preaches the gospel on a continual basis, so Christians can be instructed on how to tell others about Christ. And in our text this morning, we see a wonderful and yet very solemn illustration of God's mercy and grace and the sinful condition of all mankind clearly displayed in front of us in this man that's full of leprosy. Because the Bible said not only was a leper, but in verse 1, it said that he was full of leprosy. He didn't just have a little bit. He had leprosy all over his body. So unable for us to understand how he was a leper and how it illustrates a sinful man, we need to understand this disease of leprosy a little better. So, stay with me a few minutes and I pray that God will give me grace to define unto you this terrible disease, and hopefully we'll be able to compare it with sin, that we'll be able to see how devastating and terrible and horrible sin has brought mankind. Leprosy, beloved, is one of the oldest sicknesses amongst mankind, and it even exists today. It even exists today. There's thousands, literally thousands of new cases every day of leprosy. And although this terrible illness can be treated today, it can be treated. It can be healed. At the time of Christ, it was both greatly feared and it was incurable. They could not cure leprosy. And people feared leprosy. Highly contagious. That's why in the book of Leviticus, talking about the sins of the diseases, leprosy is one of them. If somebody's got leprosy, he was to cover his mouth and he was to yell out to others around him, leprosy, unclean, unclean, to tell other people, I'm a leper. He was isolated. He was separated from society. He was vile. He was full of sores, as we'll see in a few minutes. Leprosy was incurable in the days of Christ, and people feared leprosy because once you had it, you could never be cured of it. And yet, as amazing as it may sound, God's Word uses this terrible disease of leprosy to describe the horrible consequences and effects of sin upon all mankind. God uses leprosy as an example of how wicked, how vile, how sinful men are. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. God said, from the head to the foot, there's nothing but bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. God looks at us and He says, all your righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, I know in this generation which we live in, that's something people simply refuse to believe. I have met so many people who said, well, I believe God is like this. This is how I depict God. And every time I confront somebody like that and I say, well, that might be how you depict God, but how does the Bible depict God? And how does the Bible reveal, or what does the Bible reveal about mankind? They can't tell me that, and they kind of brush it off and say, well, I feel this is how God is. The Bible is very clear when it comes to sin and its evil effects. The Bible is very clear when it comes to sinful men. God says you're vile, you're wicked, you're unrighteous, and everything about you is nothing but putrefying sores. All your righteousness is filthy rags. I hate to get too clear and too blunt here, but that filthy rag is the rag a woman uses once a month. That's literally what it means. That's how vile and wicked all men, women, and child are in the eyes of God. Every single man, woman, and child. That's how God sees every sinner. We are that vile. Just like this leper, full of leprosy. We're vile in the eyes of God. Now, God sent His Son into the world to seek and to save someone like that. We need to better understand this terrible disease in order to better understand sinful man's true condition before God. Because you see, there's no man good, there's no man righteous, there's no man who seeketh after God. Man can't earn his way to heaven. He's not capable. Just like this leper, he's not capable to help himself. Now this can be cured. Back then it couldn't. This leper could not. Why do you think he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me? Nobody else can. No physician in the world can help me. Nothing can help me except you. So what about leprosy? How's it like? How can it be compared to sin? Stay with me because I want to really help you and instruct you on not just what God did for us as Christians, but help you be able to preach the gospel better to sinners. To understand their condition so that we as Christians might begin to get under a burden about their need for Christ again. First of all, leprosy is not painful. It's not painful. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of leprosy, most people haven't, but if you have, or if you looked up a picture, you see boils and skin falling off. I mean, skin literally peels off the face, off the arms, big old huge boils, pusses, white stuff coming out. You look at that and you think, that's got to be painful. But leprosy is not painful. Just like sin is not painful, Hebrews says it's pleasurable. That's why it's so deadly. It's pleasurable. Leprosy is not painful because it damages the nerves. It destroys and weakens any sense of pain. You can't feel nothing. So if you look at a picture of a leper, and his skin's peeling off in big old bubbles and he's scraping it, he doesn't feel a thing. Why do you think he scrapes all the way to the bone? It kills or destroys the nerves. It weakens any sense of pain. That's exactly what sin does in a believer. Leprosy at first goes unnoticed because it's not painful. You don't know it's there. And yet it continues to infect and mutilate. Leprosy is not a killing disease, it's a mutilating disease. Until its terrible effects begin to manifest themselves. At first, you don't even know you have it. And the Old Testament says if there's a white spot, oh, I got a white spot. What's that? You went to the priest, and the priest would look at it, and he'd do something with it. He'd go through the law, and then he'd find out. They'd lay something on it. If it came out this way or that way, God'd say, yeah, that's leper. You need to cleanse it. They'd have a white spot, but they didn't know it was there. All this time, it's infecting them, and they didn't know it was there. That's the same thing sin does. We grow up in life thinking, sin's not affecting me. There's no bad effects about sin, but we don't know that it's slowly infecting and mutilating us. When we were young, we thought we were indispensable, didn't we? Indestructible. Didn't we? What's sin doing to us? You know what that is? Loss of hair? You know what the gray hairs are? You know what the wrinkles are? That's the wages of sin. That's leprosy coming out. When we're young, we don't think it's no problem. I ain't got a problem with this. But like leprosy, sin will manifest itself. And as we grow older, we begin to see the wages of sin. You want to see a good picture of the wages of sin? On the border of being paid out in full? Go to a retirement home or a nursing home and look at somebody that's 80 and 90 years old. That's the result of sin. We're dying because of sin. Every man, woman, and child in this world is dying. And that's sin. The wages of sin is death. At first, when we're young, we don't even think about it. I didn't think I'd ever turn 30, 40, let alone 50. But all my life, even in these young children here, even though they're young and vibrant and healthy, leprosy or sin like leprosy is still affecting and mutilating them as they grow older and older, infecting their body. It kills the nerves. It goes unnoticed at first, and then suddenly boils and bumps appear on the skin, and skin ulcers begin to arrive, and then it cripples. Leprosy cripples you. The wages of sin is death. That's what sin does. And we don't realize that. And we look at our children, we look at young people, and we think, oh, there's still time, there's still time. There's never no time, because the wages of death, of sin, can come early age or they can come late. Job says, I've seen people die in their youth, I've seen them die when they're old, when they're sick and when they're healthy. He said, I've seen them die in all phases of life. Sin's wages are paid when sin is ready to call for the wages. And that could be young or old. Maybe some of us has made us, and some of us had, to a ripe old age. How many people in this world didn't? How many kids? How many teenagers? How many young adults didn't make it? Just like leprosy deadens the nerves that they don't feel pain, sin does the same thing to sinful man. I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't feel anything bad. I'm a pretty good person. He doesn't feel his need for God. I'm healthy spiritually. Nor does he at first sense the horribleness of his condition. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't do all those things. I'm a pretty good person, and therefore God's got to accept me. No. Outwardly, maybe you look like that, but inwardly God's saying there's leprosy and you're full of it. And it's mutilating you and killing you. And one day you'll die because of that if you're not cured. His sins continue to consume him, bringing him with each breath closer to eternal death. With each heartbeat. You ever figure how often your heart beats? That's almost a scary thing. If I was a sinner this morning here, present, I would be afraid of that. You know how often your heart beats in a minute? What's the average heartbeat per minute? Anybody know? Something like that. A minute. Now, if you're over 50, over 60 years old, you figure how many times your heartbeat is pumped. How many times? And it's still going. And the only thing keeping that thing going is God. It could stop any minute. Any second, heart could stop. The only thing keeping that heart going is blood flowing through there. There's no machine in there, no pump in there. It's blood flowing through your body. Job says God has the heart of every man in His hand, and it can stop any minute. We are one heartbeat away from death, one heartbeat away from eternity, one heartbeat away from eternal torment or eternal happiness. Nobody ever thinks like that because they don't take the time out to seriously consider their condition before God. Am I truly a child of God? Has Christ cleansed me from my sins? Am I truly born again, or am I simply playing a religious game? One heartbeat away from eternity. But sin, like leprosy, deadens a man's consciousness of it. I'm okay. I'm fine. Sin, like leprosy, damages and mars the soul of man that he has no affections, no desires, no longing for God. It mutilates and maims his soul, making him insensitive to God and His truths. He doesn't want to read the Bible. He never does. Pray? He wouldn't know how to pray if he had to. But I'm a good guy. I'm a good woman. I'm a good child. I go to church. I have my beliefs. That makes me good enough. You're not good enough. You never will be good enough. Sin, like leprosy, deadens the nerves and the affections for God. Doesn't care. I remember I made a profession of faith at 14. I thought I was a Christian. I had the tears. I had the emotions. I mean, they were singing on the guitar in a youth group, Amazing Grace. And I made a profession and I cried and did all that. My grandfather baptized me in Colorado. And I went back home after that summer vacation to California. Went right back to the old lifestyle I lived before. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. I had an emotional moment. That was all I had. But I never had a saving moment. Join the army? What religion are you? I'm a Baptist. I ain't entered a Baptist church in 10 years. Maybe even more. But oh, I'm Baptist. Somebody asked me, I was a Christian. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Long story short, until I walked into church one day in Heilbronn, Germany, on a cold winter day, and I heard the gospel preached for the very first time, and I realized I am a wicked, vile sinner before God. If God don't save me, I'm going to die and go to hell, and I'm going to burst it wide open. Doesn't matter how much I felt when I was 14, doesn't how much I thought I was a religious person, I knew that I was not saved. I knew I was not a new creature. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about religion. I thought I was good enough. That day, God showed me, you're not good enough. You never will be good enough. And that week, I went home, fell on my face on my kitchen floor. And I asked God to save me. And He did. What did sin do? Sin deadened me and my affections towards God. And all the time I was thinking I was okay. I never loved God. I never loved this book. I never loved church. I never loved to pray. I thought I was good enough. Until God opened my eyes and said, you're not. You're still vile and wicked. And you're still in your sins. And I said, God, if you don't save me, nobody can. Oh, my dear friend, sin deadens your affections to God. If you've got dead affections for God, you're lost. And you're going to perish if you die that way. Only God can renew that illness, make those affections alive for Him. No amount of religious works could ever do that. This leper was full of leprosy. Killed every nerve, painless. Just like sin. But not only was the leper filled with such horrible sickness, his sickness, because of its condemnation or contamination, separated him from family, friends, and society. When somebody was found to be leprous, they had to put him outside the camp. They had to wander alone with other lepers. They were never allowed to see family and friends again. Never allowed to enter into the city. They could not interstep into the city. They were separated. It's what Leviticus says. Listen to this about the leper. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. End of quote in Leviticus chapter 13. He shall be alone. Without the camp shall his habitation. They were lonely people. You know how they ate? They went to the dump where people dumped their city trash. That's how they got food. They couldn't even go in to buy food. Beloved, the leper, like the sinner, is hopelessly sick. He's isolated. He's shut out of society. He was destined to die a lonely death. The Bible says sin separates us or estranges us from God. You know where the sinner is? He's like this leper. He's not allowed in the presence of God. And he's going to die alone. He'll be pushed out of the presence of God. He'll be thrust out from God's holy presence, ever to die and suffer alone in eternal torment. Why? Because he's, like the leper, a sinner. He's unclean. That which makes eternal torment so tormenting, dearly beloved, is not the flames of hell. It's not the pain which one shall suffer, the gnashing and the grinding of the teeth, the Bible says, and the smoke ascending forever. It's the realization that I'm forever separated from God. I will never enter the presence of God and have a perfect awareness that God is lovely and kind and merciful and gracious, and yet I shall never, ever be able to enter into the presence of God. I am forever shut out and estranged from God. That's what makes it so tormenting. It's not the flames. It's the realization that I shall never, ever enter into the presence of God. What does the sinner do? Well, religion can't help him. Church membership can't help him. Good works can't help him because they're filthy before God. What can he do? He can only do what this leper did. What did he do? Man full of who's seeing Jesus. Look at him. He fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How this man got to this point, we don't know, but something, it had to be God, brought him to this moment to realize that there's only one way he can be delivered from this disease. Only one way he can be cleansed. He doesn't demand it. He begs for it. Lord, if thou wilt, you're the only one that can make me clean. I'm shunned from my mother, my father, my brethren. I'm exiled and estranged from everyone I know. I live in the dump. I eat trash. I eat garbage for food. I'm not allowed to be anywhere. I'm lonely. I'm afraid. Oh God, only you can save me. If you've never come to the point in your life to realize that's your condition before God, I would have serious doubts about your salvation. Because that's how salvation is given. When we're at the point of saying, God, there's nobody and nothing else that can help me. If you don't help me, I'm forever lost. It's not, well, I need to try something new in life. I'll just skip down to the altar and say this prayer and I'll be saved and that'll end all my problems. If you've ever heard the gospel for the first time, this is what Lloyd-Jones says, and I'll bring this to a close. It was true what he said. The first time you heard the gospel, I mean really heard the biblical gospel, you hated it. Because it made you appear to be vile and wicked and no good, and you didn't like it. Because everything about you was no good. And if you didn't like it, you disdained it. You didn't like it at all. Why? Because it says that we're in great need of Christ. We can't save ourselves. If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Watch what the Lord said. I like this. Because I remember that day when God spiritually did this to me. Verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him.
Remember that gospel song? A lot of people don't like for it, but it's pretty good. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all my sins were washed away. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me. And now I'm made whole. Oh, I remember that week getting up and going to work. Working on the assembly line in Audi. Had a beard and a shaggy old, I guess you'd call it hair, a fro. Cut my beard off, cut my hair, went to church, went to work, and instead of having a gunny sack full of beer bottles, I brought my Bible. Everybody said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Oh, if I could just put it in words." Something happened. He touched me. Do you remember that? Too often in the hectic things of life, as we grow as Christians, we forget that moment. Do you remember when He touched you? And you knew, my sins are gone. I'm forgiven. Do you remember that? He never forgot that day. His sin was full of boils and sores. The Lord reached out and touched Him and said, "I will, be thou clean." And I bet His skin became like baby skin. And oh, so many nights and days He scratched as the pus poured out of His arms and His cheeks and skin peeling off. And He looked down, His skin's like baby skin. And oh, Lord, remember the nine that went on and only one turned around and thanked God? And the Lord said, "Where's the other nine?" And that man went back to his house and stood before his door, and his mom or dad opened that door, and he could finally, after so many years, take him in his arms and, "I'm clean, I'm renewed, I'm fresh, I'm healed." We never forget that, but we tend to, don't we? Never forget the day He touched you. Because if you do, you begin to grow unthankful. And you'll lose everything about what Christianity is about. Isaiah is the one that said, and I'll close with this, he said, "If you're sins are as scarlet, I'll wash them and make them white as snow. Come, let us reason together." I like that wonderful invitation. That's what God does to every sinner who's aware that I'm a leper. God doesn't say, "Away from me." He says, "If you're aware of that, come, let us reason together." The gospel says, "Come, let us reason together." Reason together is when God sits down and says, "This is what you need." That's what God does to every sinner. It's what He did to you. It's what He did to me. Did to you. It's what He did to you. It's what He does to me. Did to me. That's what He's doing this morning. He said, "Come, let us reason together. Are your sins as scarlet? I'll wash them. Make them white as snow. If thou wilt, thou canst come to me. I will." And He does. How is that ever possible? Well, Christ became leprous for us. You know that? He bore our griefs and our sorrows and our sickness. He became leprous and paid the debt so you and I could be cleansed. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus, not of good that I have done. This is all my hope and peace. That's what I want preached in mine. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can you this morning say, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst cleanse me"? Then the Lord says, "I will." May God give us grace to be reminded of the day He touched us. If He hasn't, I pray He would. And you find true salvation. And I pray that we'd be able, as God's children, to take this back out to the world. That's the condition they're in. Their spiritual nerves have been deadened by sin. They don't realize they're in danger. Don't overlook them. Don't ignore them. God, give us grace to tell them, "You're in danger. You're in need." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Thy Word. We thank You, Lord, for the day that You touched us and cleansed us and made us whole. So often we forget that moment in time that changed our eternal destiny. And we forget from what You saved us from and to what You saved us to. I pray, dear God, that we'd not be like those other nine lepers that walked away. Help us to be like that one who turned around, fell on his face and cried out and gave God the glory, thanking You. Oh, dear God, I pray Help us to be ever reminded of that wonderful time. May it encourage and strengthen us. If there's someone here this morning, Lord, that you've spoken to, your word has pierced their hearts and revealed to them their sinfulness and their need of Christ, we pray that you'd give them no peace, day nor night. Spirit of God, we pray that you'd fill their conscience of guilt and shame until they see Jesus Christ as the only mercy and grace, as the Lamb of God who paid for their sins. Father, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.